It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. So I said last Sunday that I wanted to bookend this Thanksgiving week with a couple of messages on Thanksgiving. So here's a picture of our bookends. And last Sunday we covered these two points. The evil of unthankfulness. I was told Monday at one point that there was a point where I even said the word, I mentioned the evil of thankfulness. Anybody remember that? Chris does. He was the one who told me. I don't remember saying that, but I don't deny it either. We're talking about the evil of unthankfulness. And then we talked about the amazing grace, gospel transformation of thankfulness. How that the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles us to God the Father, and we become a thankful people. And we considered, for example, from Ephesians 5:20, that we're to be thankful in, be thankful always and in everything. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to be thankful in all circumstances. Well, now to bookend the week, this morning we want to consider four reasons why you can be thankful no matter what. Four reasons why you can be thankful no matter what. And these four reasons that I want to cover this morning are based in and based on what I'm going to call four soul-anchoring truths. Four soul-anchoring truths. And those are the never-changing Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the never-changing Trinity and the never-changing Word of God. And that's why it's possible for us to be thankful concerning these four things no matter what. Because no matter what changes in our lives, there's the never-changing Trinity and there's the never-changing Word of God in our lives. So I say no matter what because sometimes, especially in light of difficult circumstances, you and I can be tempted to be unthankful. We can be tempted to be the opposite of thankful, which I think would fall in the category of we could be tempted when things are difficult or challenging to grumble and to complain. Okay, well, maybe that only applies to one person in the room. I, when things can be difficult and challenging, am tempted to be unthankful and I am tempted to grumble and to complain. Sometimes you and I are tempted to be unthankful because we think that things are too bad or they're too difficult to be thankful. And yet you and I know that God calls us as his people to be a thankful people again, always, in everything, and in all circumstances. And that's why I want to share these four reasons of why we can be thankful based on the unchanging Trinity and the unchanging Word of God. Here's number one. We can be always thankful no matter what because God the Father, and I have in parentheses something very important, not just God the Father, not just some impersonal deity out there, but God the Father, if you're a believer this morning, your Father in heaven, your Father who loves you so much that he gave his Son for your sake that you might know him. God the Father, your Father, is sovereign over all things. And when I say sovereign over all things, I mean sovereign over all events, sovereign over all situations, locations, people. So many verses we could look at to think about God's sovereignty over all things, but here's just a couple I want to focus on this morning. I'll draw your attention first of all to Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, where God in his word says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God. And in all those former things, I was always God, and I was always faithful. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, there's no other. I am God, and there's no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, I will accomplish all my good pleasure." God in his perfect sovereignty has the total freedom to do all of his good pleasure, to bring to pass all of his purposes. Again, in every situation, location, event, he will accomplish his good pleasure, past, present, perfect, in your life. Nothing happens apart from his searching, caring eye. Nothing happens apart from his sovereign decree. He knows the condition of a sparrow, a tiny little sparrow that's sold for a farthing, about a half a cent. He knows the condition of that sparrow. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every detail about your life, every event, situation, everything. And beloved, you are much, much, much more valuable to him as a redeemed child than the sparrow that he holds in his care. Here's another verse I want us to think about. And providentially, we've read this verse for the last three Sunday mornings in the first hour. Maybe it should be settling in on our souls. Romans 8:28 and 29. And we know that God, that sovereign God, causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to remind you, God, your father, we'll have to sink in. Father who knows you, the father who loves you, is causing and ordering all things to work together for your good. Paul is not saying here that all things are good in and of themselves. Not all things are good in and of themselves. What Paul is saying, though, is that God providentially and wisely and lovingly causes all things to work together for your good. And again, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, his great and ultimate purpose is not necessarily our plushy comfort. His purpose ultimately, as we see here, is that in all these things he's working out for our good, is that more and more and more you and I are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his Son, so that you and I are more and more Christ-like. Which, of course, is your highest good and my highest good. That's his good purpose in us. And so all this points to the truth that giving thanks then is a matter of an act of faith in the sovereignty of God. Let me say that again. Giving thanks is a matter of an act of faith in the sovereignty of God. Because God in his sovereignty may allow the enemy, he may allow others, he may allow difficult situations and circumstances to sift us. Think about it. To shake us, to sift us. Purpose of sifting wheat was to sift out the impurities of that wheat. So what was left was the good and the pure grain, and the chaff blows away. The other impurities fall out of the sifting mechanism. So would God do that? Would God allow circumstances and difficult situations to sift me? Peter, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. And I'm going to grant that permission. What a sifting Job must have gone through. God in his sovereignty may allow the enemy in difficult circumstances to sift us like he did in Peter, like he did in Job. And often you and I, we just don't know, we don't understand, we don't comprehend what's going on. Think about that sickness. Think about that unexpected sorrow, an earthquake, a hurricane, a tornado, the out-of-control gunman, the drunk, the man driving at a high speed through a parade last Sunday in Wisconsin, killing, I forgot what was the last count, 5 or 6 individuals, injuring many, many others, cancer, the pandemic, the shutdowns, the mandates, the elections. Sometimes we just don't know or comprehend or understand all that's going on. But in everything by faith, let us give thanks, resting on God's perfect sovereignty. Resting in God's sovereignty enables us to give thanks to the one who either brought or allowed whatever is the cause of our concern. And knowing that he could have controlled it, or knowing that he could have stopped it if he had purpose to do so. And since he did not, on the one hand, stop it, and since he did, in his sovereignty, on the other hand, allow it, we rest in the reality that infinite wisdom and unchanging love purposed with almighty power in those circumstances has a good purpose in our lives in that and his glory. And so, one, God the Father, your Father, is sovereign over all things, events, locations, situations of people, and in that we can give thanks by faith in God's sovereignty. Here's the second reason why we can give thanks no matter what. And that's that God the Son, who is your mighty Savior, because again, I don't want to leave this just in sort of theory. He is the Savior, but he's your mighty Savior. Saves to the uttermost all who trust in him. Hebrews 7:23-25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, that is Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to him, near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There are a couple of important key phrases I want to point out here. They're in red in verse 25. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. If you've got a different translation, look at your translation. I didn't ask you to open it. You're just looking at it. Different translations say he's able to save completely. He's able to save forever. That's the idea of that word uttermost. To the nth degree and forever and in whatever it is that you and I need to be saved in and saved from, he is able to save us to the uttermost. That word able there means to have the power, to have the ability, to have the capability, to have the resources, to have the strength to accomplish the purpose, and his purpose is to save us completely and forever. I am not able, and nor probably two of us together would not be able, to go over there and pick up that piano. I don't have the ability, I don't have the capability, I don't have the resources, I don't have the strength. If that were my purpose, to pick up that piano, I could not do it because I am not able to do it. But he can save you to the uttermost because he is able. He has the power, the resources, everything that's needed. Now, I want you to see in this context of this passage, there's the contrast between the former priest of the Old Covenant after the order of Aaron and the priesthood of Jesus after the forever priesthood order of Melchizedek. Notice, the Old Testament priests who were daily in the temple offering sacrifices for the people and for themselves existed in great numbers. So what we see in verse 23, the former priests were many in number. There were many of them. But the fact that there were many of them is not an indication of their strength or their power. Normally, when we think of an army with many, many soldiers, we think that's a very powerful army. But in this case, their great number is an indication of their human weakness and their human frailty. They were great in number because they always died. They were prevented by death in continuing in their priestly office, in contrast to Christ, who we're told in verse 25, always lives and therefore holds his office permanently. Because he does that, that's why he's able to save forever. That's why he's able to save to the uttermost. He never dies. He's always there saving, ministering, making intercession for us. He's able to save us completely. Let's put that in some categories. That means he's always able to save you and I from the penalty of sin by his perfect life and sacrifice in our place. Which means, because of that, you can always be thankful for your justification. You can always be thankful for that, no matter what. Because he's always able to save us to the uttermost, it means he's able, he has the power to save you and I from the dominating power of sin. If any man be in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And so no matter what, you can always be thankful that you're a new creature in Christ. You can give thanks that you're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. You can be thankful that you don't have to go on offering the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but they can be offered as instruments of righteousness to God. Because he's able, because he never dies, because he always lives to make intercession for us, and he's able to save us to the uttermost, that means he's also able, has the ability, the power, the capability, the resources to save us fully and finally forever from the presence of sin. So from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. This is the reality of the fullness of God's grace in Christ Jesus as our high priest. He is always able to always save all of his people to the end forever. That's something you can be thankful for no matter what. There's a third thing. If you came in a little late, we're considering four things we can always be thankful for based in the Trinity of God and the Word of God. Here's number three, the third person of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit always helps us in all of our weaknesses. John 14, 16 and 18. Our Lord said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. The Lord who died on the cross for you to save you forever promises you he's going to go to heaven to intercede for you forever, but he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you as an orphan. He says, I will come to you. You and I understand that orphans, by definition, are needy people. But often, and orphans are special in the economy of God, orphans are to be specially cared for, orphans and widows. Orphans, by definition, and God knows it, are needy people. But the epitome of hopelessness, the epitome of helplessness, is an abandoned orphan who's been left alone. And there are such individuals all across the world. I think I remember seeing, I think it was maybe Brazil, maybe a documentary on Brazil and orphans in Brazil one time, just these street kids that live out on the street on their own in culverts, wherever they can find a place to sort of come together and help each other alone. They're the epitome of desperateness, weakness, impoverishment, without parents, without support, just trying to make it on their own. And your Lord says, that's exactly how I am not going to leave you on this earth. I'm not going to leave you like a helpless, desperate orphan. I'm going to leave you for a while, but not as helpless orphans. He says, I'm going to personally see to it that I give you a helper to come alongside you for the purpose of giving you aid and comfort and strength, for the purpose of giving you whatever you could possibly need. Pursue a life of godliness, whatever you could possibly need. I'm sending a helper to you. And he says specifically, I will send you another helper, meaning there, I will send you another helper, another of the same kind. All that Jesus had been to his disciples while he was with them, he said, that's the kind of helper I'm sending to you. I'm sending you another helper of the same kind. Like Jesus helped them to know God, he will help you to know God. Like Jesus helped them know the truth, he will lead you into all truth. Like Jesus showed them the way, he will show you the way. My Father and I will give you another helper. I will not leave you as helpless orphans. I'm going to come to you, I promise you, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to help you in everything. No matter what, no matter how difficult, no matter where, I'm sending him to help you in everything forever. Regardless of the difficulty, inward or outward, I will be there to help you. So no matter what, you and I can give thanks that God the Father has sent God the Spirit to help us all the way to heaven. So there are three truths based in the Holy Trinity for why we can give thanks no matter what. God the Father, your Father, is sovereign over all things. God the Son, your mighty Savior, is able to save you to the uttermost. And God the Holy Spirit has been sent to help you no matter what. And here's the fourth truth for why we can be thankful no matter what. And that's this, that God's Word will never fail. And God's Word is a constant source of light in a dark world. I want to emphasize this morning that we're not talking about it. When we're talking about giving thanks in all things, we're not talking about some kind of Christian spiritual positive thinking technique. It's not that. Giving thanks always in all things is acting in faith on God's never failing word. In a general sense, let me show you what I mean by in a general sense. Here's how we can give thanks for God's word. We can say, trusting on God's word, God, I thank you that forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. There's a lot of sifting and shifting and moving and inconsistencies in this world and in my own heart. But this I know, I thank you that for all that sifting and shifting and moving and inconsistencies, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens and it's ruling over this earth. The grass withers, the flower fades. So many applications to that right there. But the word of God will stand forever. Peter repeats the same thing in 1 Peter 1:24. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Because of that sureness and firmness of God's word, no matter what, in a general sense, you can give thanks no matter what. But also, not just in a general sense, but in a specific and in a personal sense, we can give thanks no matter what. Because of the constancy of God's word. We've got maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 examples here of how, in a specific and a personal sense, let's just walk through them, where at any point in time, we could say, God, I thank you that in times of uncertainty, I thank you that all your promises in Christ are yes and amen. Your promises are true. Your promises are solid. 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Word of God says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. His promises make all uncertainties certain. In times of weakness, we say, God, I thank you that in this weak moment, I thank you that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. A specific verse, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In times of temptation, God, I thank you. It's fierce. I feel the temptation. I know it's true. It's real, isn't it? But here's an anchor for your soul. God, I thank you that in this temptation, you will not allow me to be tempted beyond that which I am able, and that you will provide a way of escape for me. 1 Corinthians 10:31. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Whatever temptation you experienced this week was not a unique temptation. Common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In times of darkness, we can say, God, I thank you. And no matter how dark it seems, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:105 says that very thing. In times of grief, thinking about our sister Judy sitting back there this morning, having lost her mother Thanksgiving night. In times of grief, when the wrong seems off so strong, God, I thank you that though I grieve, I do not grieve as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. Judy's shared with her that she's as confident as she can be this morning that her mother is with the Lord. And so though, like many of us have grieved in this past year, like many of us have grieved deeply, something we can be thankful for is how the Word of God instructs us. So though we grieve deeply, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. In times of accusation, when the enemy, the accuser, comes at us, God, I thank you that when the accuser comes at me with his accusations, that I have an advocate in heaven with the Father, Christ the righteous one. 1 John 2:1. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He's absorbed the wrath of God. He's absorbed all the guilt and the accusations that could come our way. In times of confession of sin, and there ought to be times of confession of sin in our lives. If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth's not in us. And it's humbling and humiliating, perhaps, humbling and difficult to confess sin. And maybe we'll be reluctant to do that. But the truth of the matter is that we can say, God, I thank you that if I confess my sin, I can thank you. You're faithful. And you're just to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 states that. In time when hope grows dim, we can say, God, I thank you that nothing can separate me from your love. Romans 8:38 and 39, a text we looked at last Sunday. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, those things that we saw in that very first passage that God has under his control, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You think back on those verses we just looked at, and there are mountains and mountains of soul-anchoring truths in God's Word. And giving thanks is always a matter of faith in God, and giving thanks is always a matter of active trust in God's Word. So four things for which we can be thankful no matter what. God the Father, your Father, is sovereign over all things. God the Son, your mighty Savior, saves to the uttermost all who trust in Him. God the Spirit is always with us, helping us in all of our infirmities. And God's Word is a constant light in our dark world. So that's how we wanted to bookend this Thanksgiving week. I'm going to go back to that very first slide. Let's see, there's probably an easier way to do this, but I'm going to flip through these very quickly and go back to our bookend, the very first slide. There it is. Okay, so there's our bookend. Last week, the evil of unthankfulness and the gospel transformation of thankfulness. And this week, bookending this Thanksgiving week, four reasons why you can always be thankful no matter what. Well, we're going to dismiss in prayer now and have a little time for a break and some coffee and that kind of thing, and we'll come back to our worship service. Lord, we do want to thank you. Thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you for your Son who saves. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given us to help us. And thank you for your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace and for your glory, you'll help us indeed as a reconciled people to you to be the thankful people that honor and please you as you're worthy of. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed.